First Kings chapter 19. To continue our study in the life of this man, Elijah the Tishbite. And there in verse 4, which is our text for this evening, we read about Elijah at a very low point in his life. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." During the course of this study, we have been reminding ourselves of the words of James the Apostle, when he referred to Elijah as a man subject to like passions as we are, James 5 and verse 17. Or as the literal translation has it, he was a man of like feelings to us. Even though he was a strong man, we have seen that already. He was a sincere man, we have witnessed that also. And without a doubt, he was a spiritual man. Nevertheless, he was still a man. A man subject to like passions as we are. Someone has said that the best of men, are only men at best. That most certainly was true of Elijah. And so like us, there would have been days when he felt joyous and happy and light-hearted. And then, in contrast, there would have been other days when, for no apparent reason, perhaps he would have felt sad and melancholy and in the slough of despond. And other occasions again when he would have felt exhilarated, excited, expectant with high hopes. But then when those hopes were dashed, the feeling of disappointment, dismay, and even defeat would have filled his heart. Because he was a man subject to like passions as we are. We know what this is like. We have experienced these emotional and spiritual highs and lows ourselves. And Elijah was no different. And what disappointed Elijah at this time? What brought him into the slough of despond and brought him to the juniper tree of depression? I believe was the response of Ahab and Jezebel to what had taken place on Mount Carmel. Perhaps Elijah thought there might be some sympathy for him. Because after all, he had prayed again and the drought-stricken land once again rain falling upon it. He probably thought his adversaries would have acknowledged, certainly after what Ahab had witnessed on Mount Carmel, he thought that he and Jezebel would have acknowledged that indeed there is only one God in Israel. And then when Jezebel sent a message threatening the life of the prophet, that was, as it were, the last straw. We talk about the last straw that breaks the camel's back. The old camel can carry so much, and all it needs is just another straw placed on its back, and it cannot go any further. And so the feeling of disappointment descended into a feeling of defeat, and his feelings plunged still deeper into the darkness of depression. The darkness of depression. And that is where we find our dear prophet. Under the juniper tree of depression, there in the wilderness beyond Beersheba. It's disappointing. And it is sad to see him there. But we must say this, it is no disgrace. Other men, as strong, as spiritual, as Elijah, have found themselves also under the juniper tree of depression. And let us remember that Elijah, being a righteous man, being such a godly man, such a spiritual man, was still just a man, having to deal with the weakness of the flesh, and very often thoughts that troubled him. Have we not at times had to deal with the weakness of the flesh? And such has been the weakness of our flesh that we have descended into a state of depression, wondering whether we would ever again be strong in body. Have we not been depressed at times with the thoughts that have been in our minds and thoughts that have troubled us? And here is Elijah, all alone, under the juniper tree in the wilderness. Was there any hope for Elijah? Was there any hope for him ever getting out from under the juniper tree, being lifted up out of this deep valley of depression? Well, indeed there was hope. And indeed there was help for Elijah. There was hope and there was help for Elijah in the God of Israel. And the God had stood by him when he confronted Ahab on those other occasions. And when he faced the prophets of Baal, the same God would bring and lift up Elijah out of the slough of despond and bring him out of the dark night of depression and cause the sun to shine once more. As he waits at the entrance of Jezreel, he receives a message from Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. And we see here, first of all, the communication with Elijah. For as we look at Elijah before he gets to the juniper tree of depression, we must look at the events leading up to Elijah finding himself there. We read in the opening verse that when Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword, following that report from Ahab, Elijah received a threat. That's all it was. There wasn't an army that had been sent out to look for Elijah. It was just a threat. A threat from Jezebel. And Jezebel sent this message to Elijah threatening his life. And there in verse 2, so then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, that is one of the false prophets, by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, we are told he arose and went for his life. Remember how with great courage and boldness he had confronted Ahab when he shut up the heavens through prayer. 1 Kings 17 verse 1. And remember also with similar boldness and courage he faced wicked Ahab again the second time, laying Israel's sin at his feet, charging Ahab as the man who really was the trouble in Israel. That takes courage and strength. 1 Kings 18, verses 17 and 18. And then we see him stand alone for God on Mount Carmel as he faced down the 450 prophets. And then we see him take them to the brook Kishon and single-handedly, one man against 450, and he slays every one of them with the sword. Now we might say, as we see Elijah running upon receiving this threat, we might say, Elijah, what has happened? Why did you run away? Why did you run from the threatening words of this woman Jezebel? Why, Elijah, you stood up against Ahab and you stood up against the 450 prophets. Why didn't you stand up against this woman? But then that's how it can happen to us also. Perhaps it already has. We have, with the Lord's help in times past, been able to face and overcome some of life's difficulties and sore trials. And then a lesser trial comes our way. And we don't seem to be able to overcome that lesser trial. We have expended so much energy and an emotion overcoming the more severe trials. But when some lesser trial comes, we just don't seem to be able to face it. It overcomes us. I believe that's how it was with Elijah. Perhaps this dear soul was so emotionally drained after his experiences on Mount Carmel, that an empty threat, the words of a woman, was enough to chase Elijah into the wilderness. That's how Elijah found himself under the juniper tree. I'm sure Elijah wondered. I'm sure Elijah wondered after what he had experienced in Mount Carmel and the courage he had demonstrated and that he wondered, why am I here? How come I couldn't stand up against Jezebel as I stood up against her husband? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so cast down? Sometimes when depression comes upon us, we don't have any answers. We don't know why we feel this way. David said, why? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why? Why art thou disquieted within me? David didn't know. He was searching for an answer. And I'm sure Elijah searched for the same answer. So you have the threat. And then we notice also the time. Elijah has come from the top of Carmel. From the top of Carmel, down into the wilderness. from the mountain top to the wilderness. And for Elijah, one place was as low as the other was high. From the mountain top of victory to the wilderness of despair, defeat, and depression. And it all happened over a very short period of time, perhaps just one day. One day he's in the mountaintop. The next day he's in the wilderness. When he was on the mountaintop, Israel cried out, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." A great multitude of people supported Elijah. And what he believed, the Lord, he is the God. But when he came to the gates of Jezreel, there was nobody there to support him. There was no one there to encourage him. And over a very short space of time, he finds himself coming from the mountaintop of victory down, down, down to the wilderness of defeat. Moses had been on the top of Mount Sinai. He had been there in communion with the Lord. He had talked with God for 40 days and 40 nights. Any one of us, I'm sure, would give anything to be able to do what Moses did, be in the mountaintop with God. Commune with him. But then what despair filled the heart of Moses, for upon descending the mount, he saw Israel worshipping the golden calf. And how quickly the circumstances changed for Moses and changed for Elijah from the mountaintop down into the depths of despair in a short time. Elijah experienced such a change and so took his place under the juniper tree. And once again, he being a man subject to like passions as we are, what Elijah experienced, we have experienced, and what we have experienced, Elijah has experienced. Have you ever found that? That one day you enjoy a great victory, and you're rejoicing. And before the next day is out, you're in the slough of despond. Happened so quickly. And that's what happened to Elijah. And then we notice his terror. His terror. Upon receiving the message from Jezebel, Elijah went for his life, we're told in verse 3. It is difficult to believe that this is the same man that we were introduced to in chapter 17. When he confronted Ahab and told him that he was one who stood before the God of Israel, and there would be no rain or dew according to his word. It's hard to believe it's the same man who told Obadiah. He said to Obadiah, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him, unto Ahab today." Obadiah was afraid of Ahab. Obadiah didn't want to go and tell Ahab that he had met Elijah. He was scared. But there was no such fear in the heart of Elijah. For he told Obadiah, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto Ahab today. You needn't worry, I'll be there." That it's the same man. hard to believe it's the same man who confronted the 450 prophets and slew them with a sword. It's the same man. Here you have Elijah fainting. Being a man like ourselves, we know how Elijah felt. The man who was so strong and brave suddenly became weak and faint. And there is none of us that don't faint sometimes. It is said of Jonah, Jonah 4 and verse 8, he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. You see, the greatest and the strongest of God's servants feel faint at times, and we're no different. Elijah here fainted. He lost his strength and his courage. I think also Elijah was forgetful. Elijah had been gripped with terror upon receiving the message from Jezebel, and when he received that message, he forgot something. He forgot about the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, who had stood by him when he faced Ahab and when he faced the prophets of Baal. He forgot about the God who had stood by him. He had forgotten about the one who had promised never to leave him nor forsake him. And after all, what could Jezebel's gods do to Elijah? He had forgotten that as well. Had he not defeated? Had he not put to shame the gods of Jezebel and Ahab there on Mount Carmel? He had proven to all of Israel that the gods of Ahab and Jezebel were useless. They couldn't do a thing. And here is Elijah, and he has forgotten these things. And sometimes when we slip down into the slough of despond and we're despondent and despairing, let us remember the Lord who has brought us through so many trials in the past. And remember that he will not leave us. And he'll be with us in the trials in the future. Then you have Elijah's fear. You know, people do strange things when they're afraid. Things they wouldn't do under normal circumstances. You think of Abraham. When Abraham was afraid, he was afraid that there wouldn't be enough food in the land for himself and his wife and his household. So what did he do? He did a foolish thing. He went down into Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, he lied about his wife. He did a foolish thing. It was the mercy of the Lord who delivered Abraham and his wife out of Egypt. It was all because he was afraid. You think of David. Whenever Saul was pursuing David's life, what did David do? He did a foolish thing. He went into the camp of the enemy. He went amongst the Philistines and he pretended to be mad. He acted the madman with the saliva running down his beard. It's all because he was afraid. when you're afraid, really you're not thinking straight. And here is Elijah. What was he afraid of? Why did he run away into the wilderness and sit down under the juniper tree? Elijah was afraid of the threat of Jezebel. What could Jezebel do to Elijah? Nothing. For the Lord had a work for Elijah to do. And Jezebel couldn't interrupt that work. The Lord would take care of Elijah. Even as David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He was afraid of something else. He was afraid of tomorrow. Jezebel had told him, tomorrow about this time. She was giving Elijah 24 hours to live. And she was saying, tomorrow about this time. And so Elijah was afraid of what might happen tomorrow. That's what made him run away. That's what plunged him into the slough of despond. And that's what made him so depressed. What about tomorrow? Of course, we've been there, haven't we? And something happens that maybe we feel we cannot handle. We say, oh, what about tomorrow? What will it be like tomorrow? We dread tomorrow. Elijah dreaded tomorrow. But there was no need. For the God of Israel was with him. So that's the communication with Elijah. That leads us to the complaints of Elijah. We're told that after he left his servant at Beersheba, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Anyone who suffers from depression, that's what they want. That's what they desire. They just want to be left alone. They want to be in anyone's company. You'll notice Elijah left his servant behind in Beersheba. And it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. When the spirit of depression came over him, he just wanted to be alone. And there he is in the wilderness. And while he was in the wilderness, you could say the wilderness was in Elijah. Elijah was going through a wilderness experience. And the wilderness was in his heart. The wilderness was in his mind and in his very soul. He felt the loneliness and the misery of being in the wilderness. There was nothing to cheer him, nothing to comfort him, nothing to lift the gloom. He was in the wilderness. David was there. In Psalm 102, listen to these words. David says, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. You think of it. It is not natural for a pelican to be in the wilderness. The pelicans are by the seaside. They catch fish for food. But here we read that David says he felt like a pelican in the wilderness. Completely out of place. Once again, the owl. You'll not find the owl in the desert. You'll find it sitting in trees. Not many trees in the desert. And then he says, I watch and am as a sparrow alone. You would very seldom ever see a sparrow by itself. If there's one sparrow, there's usually a dozen or more of them. But David says, I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. I'm like a lonely sparrow sitting on the housetop. It's not natural for the pelican to be in the wilderness or the owl in the desert or the sparrow to be alone. And David was saying, I shouldn't be in this place. I shouldn't be experiencing this depression. It's not natural for me. Because I have the Lord. Sometimes as Christians we feel the same way. But I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be depressed. But we know what we said. You know what we said about the Lord last week at the Lord's table. How we pointed out the Lord Jesus was depressed. As he came into Gethsemane, he told Peter, James and John that he began to be very heavy or deeply depressed. You have his wilderness and then you have his weariness. This was not like Elijah. He was always active. But now he's sitting down under the juniper tree. Not only did he sit down under the juniper tree, but we see that he just felt that he couldn't go on. Look there at his words. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. He's saying, I've had enough. That's what he's saying. I've had enough. He's saying, I can't go on. What I'm facing is too much for me. You take that word, enough. The word enough means abundant or much. And you can see what he was saying and how he felt. What had happened after Carmel was too much for him. It was just too much, the burden too heavy, the problem too great, the hour too dark. He says, I've had enough. Once again, I'm sure you felt that way at some time or another. Disappointments have come. You've had high hopes, and those hopes have been dashed. And just seems to be one problem after another, and you've said, I've had enough. Can't go any further. Notice also his wish. Elijah wished for an end to all his troubles. And so he wished that he was dead. For he said in verse 4, he sat down under the juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. He wasn't the first one to make such a request or to express such a desire. I read in Numbers 11 about Moses. And there in Numbers 11 and verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Moses was greatly burdened. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. And verse 14, Moses says, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. The burden's too heavy. And look at what he said next. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. I want to point out something here. Elijah and Moses were not thinking of committing suicide. They were not talking about suicide. We know that's how it is, unfortunately and sadly, with many ungodly today. They get into difficulties. The difficulties are too great for them to handle. And they think that they can get relief from their troubles by committing suicide. And yet their troubles have only begun. Moses and Elijah were not talking about committing suicide. They were saying to the Lord, Lord, take me out of the way. Take me home. Paul felt that way. We have learned that in our study in the letter to the Philippians. I am in a twixt between two. To depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain is profitable unto thee. Paul wanted a way home. Elijah wanted a way home. Moses wanted a way home. Felt it was just too much. The burden was too heavy. The problems were too great. There's a man subject to like passions as we are. And I'm sure in those dark days, when the burden has felt too heavy, you also have said, Lord, I wish there was a way home. Notice his words. Elijah had no one else to talk to in the wilderness except the Lord. And that's who he talked to. Because there in that verse 4, we have the words that he used as he talked to the Lord. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He told the Lord how he felt. We often go to the Lord and ask him to do this for us and do the other thing for us. Ask the Lord to give us victory. But here is Elijah. And he's just simply telling the Lord, Lord, this is how I feel. I just feel I can't go on. I cannot face tomorrow. We've already learned there again in Philippians 4 what Paul told the believers who were worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto the Lord. But in everything. That's what Elijah did. He prayed about everything. And he told the Lord, this is how I feel. He could pretend it to be brave. He could have pretended to be the old Elijah that stood before Ahab. He could have pretended to be courageous. He just told the Lord the truth. Lord, I can't go on. It's enough. It's too much for me. And then you have his woe. Whenever we are low in spirit, we cannot see any hope on the horizon. When we are low, we cannot see any good thing in ourselves. And there's just exactly how Elijah felt. For he said, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. He just couldn't see any good in himself. If you like, he was feeling sorry for himself. He felt that he was a failure. He was just like the wayward fathers of Israel. And when we are down, the devil certainly knows how to keep us down by convincing us that we're failures. That reference over in Numbers 11 regarding Moses, when he told the Lord to kill him. And Moses felt his wretchedness as well. He used that word, that he was wretched. And how often when we're down, do we feel our own wretchedness? We just feel it's not worth living. Life is not worth living. But there was deliverance for Elijah. There was a lifting up. There was a getting out from under the juniper tree. Elijah was comforted. We've seen the communication with Elijah. We've seen the complaints of Elijah. Now the comforting of Elijah. The Lord is the only one who can comfort us in our sadness, lift our drooping spirits, and chase away the dark clouds of despair and depression. Notice first of all the visit. Verse 5 says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. There's the visit. You know what strikes me about this visit? This heavenly visit, as we've already pointed out, was the angel of the Lord. It was the Lord himself that came to Elijah. And what struck me about this visit from the angel of the Lord was the fact that the Lord knew where Elijah was. Ahab didn't know where he was. Jezebel didn't know where he was. His own servant didn't know where he was. Nobody knew where Elijah was. He's in the wilderness. He's under the juniper tree. He's there alone. But the Lord knew where he was. Sometimes we feel that people don't know where we are. We know that people don't know where we are and how low we are and how despondent we are and discouraged we are and how depressed we are. But the Lord knows. Hallelujah. The Lord knows where to find us. And there in the Slough of Despond, he comes to us. And what did he do with Elijah? The angel touched him. That's what we need. We need the heavenly touch of the Lord to lift us out of the Slough of Despond. So you have the visit, and then you have the victuals. The Lord had sent by his angel food and water. This reminds me very much of the Lord's visit to the disciples in John 21, when they had fished all night and caught nothing, and suddenly Peter saw a stranger on the shore who told him to cast the net on the right side of the ship. And whenever they were come to shore, they found a fire and food. And here is Elijah, and he looked, and behold, verse 6, there was a cake baking on the coals. There was fire. And there was food and a cruse of water. There was no one else there. This meal was prepared for Elijah alone. It was, as it were, tailor-made to Elijah's needs. This Bible is our food. And when we're down, and sometimes out as well, the Lord will give us a word that's tailor-made to meet our need. Then you have the victory. The Lord was very sympathetic to Elijah's needs. And here is something that's so typical of the Lord. If you look there in verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time. He's looking after his servant. And touched him. And said, arise and eat, listen, because the journey is too great for thee. There's the sympathy of the Lord. The Lord didn't say to Elijah, oh, pull yourself together, man. Pull yourself together. Anyone that says that doesn't know what they're talking about. They say that to someone who suffers from depression. Oh, pull yourself together. They don't know what they're talking about. The Lord showed sympathy. Said to Elijah, rise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. The Lord understood. The food the Lord gave him, we are told he was able to go on. For it says that he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Doesn't the Lord work wonders? In verse 4, Elijah said he couldn't go on. Said it's enough. But the Lord touched him and supplied him with food, and he was able to go on. And go in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. And look also at verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He's back on the mountain again. He's out of the Slough of Despond. He's out of the wilderness. He's away from the juniper tree. He's up the mount of God. Isn't the Lord a wonderful Savior? Isn't he a wonderful friend? And no one else cares, no one else understands, and there's no one around to help or to encourage. The Lord's always there. And he was always there for Elijah. The journey is too great. Take this food I prepared for thee. And he took it and went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Only the Lord can get us up the mountain again. I trust the word tonight has been a benefit to you. And be an encouragement to you. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, we bless and praise thee for thy goodness and thy grace. We thank thee for thy sympathy. We know, Lord, that with thee we have one who will always sympathize with us. For he has a heart that has touched the feelings of our infirmities. We rejoice that he understands because he has been there before us. O Lord, encourage us tonight through the word. Thou knowest everyone's heart this evening. We pray, Lord, that this will be a word in season. Someone tonight. O Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of the Lord. May we go in the strength of the Lord. May we live out the rest of this thy day, meditating upon the Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.